Days of Our Lives with Pat Newland on 92.6 FM Radio Verulam. Topics of interest for baby boomers, such as travel, health, homes, safety, university, the third age, gardening, and more.
And good to see you again, Dr. Barton.
Hello.
Now, I know today you want to talk about hearing loss and eyesight issues, which, of course, do affect the older generation, probably more than younger people. And if we take hearing loss first, what are the sort of common signs that we may be developing a hearing problem? Obviously, the obvious one that we can't hear as well, but, I mean, there are other indications, possibly, that we are developing a hearing problem.
Absolutely. Hearing loss, when it's gradual and progressive and it's affecting one or both of your ears, can be really subtle, and actually the person experiencing it might not necessarily notice. What external observers might notice is that that person is listening to the radio very loudly, watching the television very loudly, or is constantly saying pardon or excuse me when you're having a conversation with them. Patients themselves will often describe finding it difficult to hear people having a conversation, particularly if there's a busy, noisy environment, and are finding themselves having to concentrate very hard on hearing, which can then, you know, mean that they sort of become quite socially isolated, actually, and that can often be one of the first sort of things that people notice.
Yes, I mean, it's sort of the ambient noise, isn't it, if you're in a busy restaurant or busy pub. Now, is there anything in particular is causing hearing loss? And was there anything we can do to help protect our ears?
Yes, so unfortunately, our ears do just get a little bit more tired with time. So as we get older, there's a process of change within all the apparatus of the ear that can lead to a condition called presbyacusis, which is essentially, you know, hearing loss of older people. Mm-hmm. This is something that isn't necessarily reversible unless other causes are found, and this is what ends up being treated with hearing aids, the technology for which has come on leaps and bounds in the last few years, and so that can often be a really helpful treatment. There are several other very common reasons for hear loss as well. So if you've got lots of wax buildup in one or both of your ears, that causes a conductive hearing loss, so that the sound waves can't actually get through to your eardrums to transmit the noise to your brain. Also, sometimes you can get infections or fluid accumulating in the middle ear, and that can affect how those sound waves are transmitted to the hearing apparatus. Infections and fluid behind the eardrum can lead to perforations of the eardrums, which again can impact how those sound waves are transmitted. And there's a condition called Meniere's disease, which is pretty poorly understood, actually, but it's thought to be an immune or inflammatory condition affecting the middle ear that can lead to hearing loss in association with dizziness and ringing in the ears. So certainly if you experience that triad of symptoms, it's worthwhile getting that looked at and having the appropriate investigations.
Yeah, because Meniere's is a really nasty condition, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly can be, yes.
Okay, so if we think that our hearing is not as good as it should be, and people keep telling us, you know, keep saying pardon to us, or experiencing tinnitus, because I think that's one of the conditions that can often indicate that there's a hearing problem, what should we do?
I'd say, first of all, try and make an appointment with a healthcare professional in order to have your ears examined and your hearing coarsely tested. So we would need to look inside the ear canals with an otoscope to make sure that there isn't any obstruction and to make sure the eardrums are looking normal. There's a condition called otosclerosis, where you get bony overgrowths of the eardrum, and another called cholesteatoma, where you get a build-up of the skin cells that overlie the eardrum. And they can both be seen on examination, and if they're the case, you'd need to be referred to a specialist.
So could it, just interesting, could a GP pick those up, or would you have to have already been referred to an ENT specialist?
In some cases, a GP can pick that up. If it's a subtle change, then you may end up needing to see a specialist in order to have that diagnosed. And certainly if there's any obstruction in the ear canal, actually sometimes you may need referral in order to remove whatever it is that's in the way so you can get a clear image of the ear. And with that in mind, you know, if you can't get access to your GP very easily, then there are other healthcare professionals you could see. So either practice nurse who can have a look and irrigate if there's lots of wax there, or there's lots of private hearing clinics that you could attend and see an audiologist who might be able to examine your ears. And if there's wax there, for example, they can use something called microsuction to remove the wax, which then allows the clinicians to see the eardrums in a lot better detail.
And that can be a lot of relief sometimes for the patient as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't count the number of people who've come to see me with hearing loss and I've looked in their ears and they've just been completely bunged up with wax. The wax comes out and they can hear again.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's a whole new world. Now, just before we go on to talk about eyesight, I think it is worth mentioning that there are some hearing loss situations which can require immediate attention. I mean, what would those be?
So I think anybody who has a sudden onset hearing loss, either both sides or one side, needs to be seen urgently in order to determine why that is the case. Sometimes a hearing loss can occur as a result of a problem with the blood supply to the inner ear. So, for example, in a stroke, or a mini stroke, a TIA, or if there is a growth within the middle ear or around the ear apparatus that is impacting the transmission of those sounds along the nerve fibres. And so I would say that if you've got one-sided hearing loss or sudden onset hearing loss, it most certainly would be sensible to have yourself checked out. And an audiogram, so a hearing test, will also help to determine whether this is likely to be a worrying problem or whether it's something that's likely to be age-related or simple.
Okay, so definitely go to your GP and get it checked out. So moving on to eyesight, what are some of the common problems that we are likely to encounter as we get older?
So many, unfortunately. So our eyes are incredible. The job that they do and the way that they do it is just amazing. It's a mystery, really. Again, in the same way as hearing, actually, as we get older, the eyes get older. The structures that make up the eye and that allow us to see change over time. And that can give rise to something called refractive errors. So if you're long-sighted or short-sighted, the lens changes a little bit and that will change how able to see at long distance and short distance you are. And that condition is called presbyopia, so similar in name. And that's something that can be age-related and why you often will need reading glasses as you get older. Another condition that's important to consider is cataracts. So if you find that you're noticing a lot of glare in your vision, or if you notice any blurring or, you know, lack of clarity in your vision, it may be that you're developing some cataracts within the eye. These are fairly easily treated with an operation, and, you know, it can have a significant improvement on things once the cataracts are removed. If you are worried about that, you can access advice through your optician, or you can go and see your GP and they can examine you. And normally cataract surgery is something that the ophthalmologist would need to do. And I know for the NHS, there's lots of criteria in order to have the operations done. So, you know, it's something that's worthwhile discussing with your specialist, certainly.
So that's in that instance, I think that's the surgery involves replacing the lens. Mm.
Yeah, so basically opening up the cavity within which your lens lives and putting a new one in, and a nice clear one that you can see through rather than a cloudy one.
Which is great. Now, there's another nasty condition, which I think normally when you go and have an eye test, I think they do test for this, and that's glaucoma.
Yes, so glaucoma is where you've got increased pressure within the globe of the eye, within the orbit of the eye. And this can, you know, it can cause either a gradual change in your vision, or in more worrying situations, in acute glaucoma, which is an emergency, it can cause a sudden change in the pressure of the eye, which leads to visual disturbance in addition to pain. And if you experience a one or both-sided set of pain in addition to loss of vision, then it's important that you get yourself off to an eye casualty as soon as possible to make sure your pressures are checked and that there isn't anything that needs doing from that perspective. On the flip side, you can develop chronic changes or increases in the pressure within your eye. And this can often lead to a tunnelling of vision, so where you sort of lose your peripheral vision, and it's because the pressure of the optic nerve at the back of the eye causes this tunnelling effect to occur. So if you've noticed any of that at all in one or both of your eyes, again, either go and see your optician for a routine pressure check, or go and see your GP for referral onwards to the specialists.
Now, another condition which can arise, I think probably not that common, but sometimes, and I've certainly had this actually, so I wanted to mention it, that you can get kind of like bright lights in the corner of your eye, particularly when you're in a dark room, or you can sometimes see sort of tiny little spots in your vision. That can be a sign of something that can develop into something quite serious, I think.
Yes, are you talking about macular degeneration?
Yes, and also I think the retina detachment.
Yes. So I'll deal with them slightly separately, if that's okay. So the macula is the part of the retina that is responsible for, well, it's got the highest concentration of visual cells on it. And it's responsible for our central vision. And so often as we get older, there are some age-related changes in that macular area of the retina that can then lead to loss of your central visual field. If that happens, then it is something that needs looking at quite promptly. One of the symptoms you might experience actually before loss of that central part of your vision is that you get distortion of lines. So if you're looking at a wall, or if you're looking at the lines on a road, they might look bendy instead of straight. And that is another reason for going and seeing somebody, I think probably quite urgently within a week, to see a specialist ideally. The other symptom you mentioned, sort of the flashes or the lights, that can occur at any area of your visual field. And that can often be a result of the retina actually peeling off the back surface of the eye in something called a retinal detachment. That is an ocular emergency. And so if you experience those symptoms, even if they feel mild and not particularly disruptive, it's absolutely critical that you get that looked at ASAP, because there is a real risk, if there's a little bit of the retina detaching, there's a risk that the whole thing will detach and you will lose the eyesight, because it's very difficult to get the retina to reattach if it's too late.
Yes, that's very, very good, important advice. Now, is there anything that we can do to generally protect our eyes and keep them healthy for longer, or they're just going to deteriorate irrespective just because of our age?
There will be, you know, an element of it that is a time issue, I think. I think that there are also lots of things you can do proactively to try and improve or sort of slow down any progressive visual loss. We talked previously about diabetes and blood pressure, and actually there are two conditions, sorry, that can often predispose to problems with vision. So if you're hypertensive or you've got diabetes, it changes the blood vessels at the back of the eye, and that can impact your vision. So making sure that you're living well, that you're getting regular health checkups, you're making sure your blood pressure is well controlled, and if you've got diabetes, making sure you've got really tight diabetic control will minimise the impact of those conditions on your eye. Likewise, the retina is very precious, and like I said, if it gets damaged, it can be damaged permanently. So having a diet that's rich in lots of nutrients and vitamins is really important, but vitamin A is particularly important for vision. So making sure that you're getting a healthy diet that's rich in, you know, nutrients and vitamins and things is also very helpful and can sometimes help. The other thing I would say, in bright sunlight, try not to ever look directly at the sun. And if you are in places where it's very bright, so on a white sandy beach or in the Alps or in the snow, make sure that you're wearing glasses to protect from the glare, because that can actually really damage your eyes.
That's really great, important advice. Thank you very much, Dr. Barton.
You're welcome.